Welcome to another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, the sports and snacks podcast and everything in between. Putting it down for the culture. Once again, still dealing with the pandemic, still just out there getting it how we get it, and just trying to be our best selves in 2021, coming up on towards the end of the year, coming up on Thanksgiving. Just thankful to be out here and about, virus-free, and just living our best life.
Yeah, and enjoying the restaurants, that's for sure. It's really nice to see the restaurants still being crowded, the ones that are open, and being able to get in and get some good food. You know, it's so nice to have good service and good food. I've noticed sometimes these restaurants, some of the employees aren't too happy because maybe they're not getting the tips, and they just got to remember to put a smiley face because it's easier, to catch flies with the honey. Vinegar. So that's the only suggestion I have, to remember, just keep a smile on your face, because I always tip.
Yeah, because you can see it in the eyes, it'll go through even if you got a mask on.
Yeah, but also just you've got to remember you're a professional, okay? So that means you have to smile and be courteous even when you don't feel like it. That's what a professional is. So the only thing, my gripe is, I'd like to see some more professionalism out there in the restaurants, because the few people that are still, out there, paying good money for food, the reason you give a 20% tip is because of service. So if you feel like you're invisible, then you don't get tipped. And that's my philosophy, which I have only done a few times in my life.
Oh, you left without leaving a tip?
I gave $2 and $5.
Wow.
Yo, you have horrible service. So, don't treat people like they're invisible. If you're not warm and fuzzy, you're in the wrong business. So get out of the restaurant business, go do something else if you can't smile and be happy. Warm and fuzzy makes the food taste better. Same with your nose. People don't understand your nose is part of the tasting. It's not just your tongue, your taste buds. So make it a pleasurable experience for everybody and be nice out there. That I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking to restaurant people, and I'm not talking about all the restaurant people, but the few give the restaurants a bad name, and a couple of these restaurants I won't go back to.
Oh, wow.
I won't go back to. And that owner, it's a reflection of the owner. So the owner might be the nicest guy in the world, but if you have employees that are standoffish and act like you're bothering them to be there, we were at one restaurant, the World Series was on, and they turned off the game at 5 to 8. And I'm like, why are you turning the game off? Do you close at 8? And they go, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. So you're going to... you want to go home so bad, you're going to turn off the game to let me know that it's time for me to leave? You should.
They give you the light, like at the Oscars, they played you off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and it's like, but it's 5 to 8. If I got there at 7:30, you should have told me, hey, we're going to close at 8. So don't be upset because a customer came in. Say something, but don't be disrespectful. So that was a $2 tip right there.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, sure. So anyway, I'm trying not to be
good naked. And bad. You earn your tip, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's start the show with some good stuff, some fun stuff. Let's talk about some sports movies. I love movies. We love movies. Everybody loves movies. They're fun to watch. They're even a bad movie sometimes is good because you could just mock it. But sports movies in general are, I just love them. I don't care what the movie is. I don't care what the sport is. I mean, because there's some people that it's tough to classify a sports movie. Now, is Rocky and Karate Kid, are those action sports or combat sports? Are those sports movies? I say yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, but sports movies are great. My favorite, or one of my favorites, and I don't have a particular order, has got to be Caddyshack. I don't care if it's Caddyshack 1. I don't care if it's Caddyshack 2. I think that movie's hilarious. I think Rodney Dangerfield is great in that. I think it was done really well with the gopher. I think if they would do it nowadays, they might ruin it with the CGI gopher, but whoever was puppeting that gopher, I mean, they deserved an Oscar.
Oh, yeah, and, it really emulates that time period of, the late 70s. And, go for it fun. The rich were rich, but they weren't the billionaires. But there was a separation between,
Oh, yes, the classes.
You saw the classes, and you saw that in the movie, but then you saw... the kids just being kids and having fun.
Yeah,
and
the poor people had just as much fun as the rich people.
Sometimes more, as I remember. But
yeah, in the movie.
Oh, even in real life too. I would say I remember being leaving home at 17 and didn't stop me. I had more fun. Maybe I wasn't
Yeah, fun is a state of mind. But yeah, that sports movie, and just like, I like it how it's everything but the sport of golf. I mean, they do, of course, a golf event at the end, but it's all basically, it's a character study, like you're saying, about the two different classes of people, country club living and not. And it's just really, the writing is done, is excellent. It's one of those movies that holds up. I haven't seen it in a couple years, but I feel like it holds up. The jokes still land, and it's just hilarious. It's just a great movie. It's a timeless movie for me.
Absolutely.
You know, and one or two, you can't go wrong. I mean, the one with Rodney Dangerfield, I think that's the second one. And Chevy Chase is the scene stealer in that one. It's just a great movie. But another golf movie, I got to say, is kind of the opposite in the spectrum. It's got to be Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Sandler. I mean, if you're an Adam Sandler fan, you know, if you know, they say. And it's just one of his great movies. I think it's just hilarious. I love his swing. I love how he doesn't take golf seriously.
Yeah, and then when he gets in a fight with
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, and then he gets his butt kicked by the old guy.
Oh, you're talking about the fight with Bob Barker.
With Bob Barker, yeah.
Yeah, The Price is Wrong.
Yeah.
Curse word.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah.
And realistic too. It was,
yeah. No, he handled them. It looked good. I think they did their own stunts on that one.
Wow. Just yeah. Just classic. But that's Adam Sandler. I mean, he's timeless. You know. Oh, then you have to go with Waterboy. One of my favorite movies of all. Oh yeah, we got Adam Sandler in two of them.
No, you got three if you want to count the remake of The Longest Yard.
On the negative,
lightning only strikes once.
Yeah,
and hit in the same spot twice.
Replicate. You know, I mean, you had Burt Reynolds, who was an actual real football player, so he played that role. You know, I think he played for quarterback for Florida State or something. But you know, I mean, he had him. You had the old guy. You had Lurch, but the guy that was in the James Bond movie, Jaws.
He was in Happy Gilmore too.
That's right. Yeah. He was a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away a few years ago, but that's right. What a long career. I got to shake his hand one time at Empire Theater in San Francisco when it was Live or Let Die. They had him out there at the premiere of Live or Let Die, and I got to shake his hand. And he was a nice guy, big guy. I guess before Shaq, that was the biggest hand I'd ever shook in my life. But yeah, what a great cast that was. Just an awesome cast. So well done. So the second one, it almost seems like
it was a money grab.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it just seemed like, oh, let's get these, you know, Chris Rock and all these people together.
I think it had Michael Irvin in it. It had some sports players.
Yeah, and it was.
Had some rappers.
Yeah, and it just like, hey, here's the lines from the old movie, and let's just remake it. It seemed like it was probably a one and done with the takes. You know, it just didn't seem like.
Oh, yeah, they're leaving the day early.
Yeah, like, hey, they called it in, as we call it. They called that one in. And I'm sure it made a lot of money because they put their. You know, like Guy Fieri's manager used to always say to me when he was my manager, you know, put yourself in front of the parade. So they had this parade, and then they just put themselves in front of it with the remake, and you know, it just turned out to be
not
believable.
Yeah, but they nailed it on Happy Gilmore. Mm. That one I like. It had Chubbs or whoever it was. It had the guy from Rocky. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Apollo Creed has a cameo in it. I mean, not as Apollo Creed, just the actor that played him. It had, that again, like you said, it had a good cast. I think it's the love interest or the lady in that is actually when she grew up or later on in her career. She's the lady from Modern Family. She's the mom, Claire, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a little fun movie fact.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think her name's Claire. It's whatever. Yeah, it's the mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But okay. Yeah, she was in that. I like the music that they use when they're doing.
Are you sure that was his? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really? Because I'm picturing her, and I'm like.
Give it a Google.
Okay. Yeah. Well, not this moment, but I will do that because. Really.
Yeah. Right.
Really, because I remember. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, she. Wow. Okay. Yeah, she aged well, but to me, she looked different. But
well, yeah, I mean, these are, I think, 15 years apart, probably, or something outrageous. But yeah,
maybe 20 years.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And in Hollywood, that's a lifetime. But yeah, I think it's a really well done movie for what it was. Because like you said, with Adam Sandler movies, it seems like there's kind of a blueprint. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how much is written, how much is ad libbed. He has a great character that he plays in a lot of his movies, and it's just if you like him, you like him. I think he's hilarious. I like how he. start off saying something kind of quiet, and by the end of the sentence, he's yelling and screaming and pulling his hair out, and it's just some really, really active.
But once again, he's so good that he's a phenom that they have to put up with it. But then there's that, we got to get rid of him, but we got to keep him. We got to get rid of him. We got to keep him. Because he's, you know, was the draw, but then he was, you know, he was getting the ratings. Because remember, it's like the accident.
Yeah.
You see, you can't help but look at it, you know?
Yeah,
and
no,
what is he going to do? Dennis Rodman, what is he going to do next? Is he going to, you know, help win the championship, or is he going to, you know, implode? So yeah, great movie.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah, great movie. And then, of course, there's, you know, a lot of the movies that are more serious that came out, like, well, I guess, like, Bull Durham was kind of serious and believable, but it was funny, but it was also kind of really, I thought it was very realistic, you know, Bull Durham, you know, as far as you know, how it would be in the minor leagues.
Yeah, which one, I think I'm drawing a blank, Bull Durham, what, that's the Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
And then
Tim Roberts.
Tim Robbins or Roberts, whatever, yeah.
And
that one was good. That was funny. The minor league, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
She was great in that. I think they ended up marrying for a bunch of years.
Yeah, they were married for quite a few years. And like you mentioned earlier, Moneyball, that was actually based on reality.
That's a good one. Yeah, and think of that guy. Let me see. I think Brad Pitt should play me. That's what I look like. Right?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What did the guy look like?
I don't know. But you know what I mean? Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you
know?
Could do the movie.
And the other guy, they gave Jonah Hill. So you got just the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, but he lost a lot of weight.
Oh, no, I'm not going on looks. I'm just saying one's an up-and-comer, and then you got Brad Pitt, who's a huge movie celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting Leo to play you in your autobiography.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the, you know, top 10 all-time movie stars.
Yeah, and then you can go around and tell me, well, that was the closest guy they could find.
For looks.
So
yeah.
Went with him. You know,
I was just thinking more along of how big those shadows they are. You know what I mean? These are huge, huge movie stars.
Yeah.
You know, to do a and the A's is a small market team, and I guess that's why they use Moneyball, because they're getting the every they're pinching pennies. Every cent counts.
Well, once again, you know, in Moneyball, it's being, you know, let the Boy Scouts motto, I was a Cub Scout, didn't make the Boy Scouts, but the thing I learned was their motto, always be prepared. And when with the Moneyball, they were so prepared, they were looking at every little detail. And, you know, if you have every little detail and you're prepared, you're going to do a better performance, where the longest yard, the second making of it, it just, like you said, they called that movie in. It wasn't believable. You had stars, but they just went through the motions. Moneyball, in reality, was this, you know, was up and coming with the computers and all that, looking every technology.
Statistics.
You know, looking at, oh, this guy can't hit this pitch, and, you know, so just throw him that. Or, you know, this guy, you know, might be a good hitter, but he doesn't have the confidence, or maybe he has a drug problem or whatever. But really digging into the psychological deepness of winners, you know.
Oh, yeah,
just... There's born winners out there.
Yeah,
there's
in sports, it seems like sometimes you go with the name instead of someone that's been, you know, an up-and-comer that's statistically is going to be a name at a certain point. And it feels like with the Moneyball and the statistics, they're getting the guys before they turned into names.
Yeah.
You know, because we all know about baseball players that get a couple contracts off of their few earlier performances and they don't live up to it.
Right. You know? Exactly. And, you know,
that's sports.
Yeah, you get the money and then... all of a sudden, you don't have the hunger and the desire, and you're not working out as hard. And boxers, Muhammad Ali was like that. He would take a couple opponents towards the end of his career, not as serious, and, you know, party life and hang out and do what he wanted. And it's so deep that, you know, Muhammad Ali was the same guy in both all these fights.
What about when he fought the wrestler?
Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think it's an exhibition game fight. But yeah, he fought a wrestler. But I think it was like they're doing the fights nowadays. But it was one of those things where they hamstring the wrestler, so the wrestler couldn't pick him up and body slam or anything. They basically just boxed the wrestler.
Oh, okay.
But
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, once again, being prepared. A couple of those fights, he was the same guy, but it's that extra. You know, like we talked about before. What's the difference between a 260 hitter and a 300 hitter?
Yeah.
One's in the all-star and one's an everyday average player.
Yeah.
You know, so just a little bit more, you know, takes you. And to be the best, you know, to be number one, you have to have the talent, but you also have to have the work ethic and the desire. So and the knowledge, you know, and don't ever take any opponent for granted. You know what I mean? It just
You got it. That's what's the saying? Yesterday's scores don't count in today's game.
Yeah,
you got to put it down every day. Yeah, for sure.
One time I played when we were playing baseball at Mendocino College, we went and played the high school. You know, I went up there and I remember I went something like 0-3, and I was like, wait a minute, this pitching's like batting practice. But I just went over there too relaxed, I think. So always, you know.
Bring your A game.
Yeah, bring your A game if you know.
And they definitely didn't do that in a lot of these movies, but in the majority of them, they really did. Bull Durham, I haven't seen that in a few years, but that was a great one. I like baseball movies.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is a good one. But let's go to basketball. One that I think they're going to do a remake of. It's coming up, and hopefully it holds up. But White Man Can't Jump.
They're going to do a remake?
I think so.
Is it too late for me to get in shape for that one?
Probably.
Damn it.
Because I don't even know if Woody and Wesley are going to be doing cameos in it.
Wow.
But yeah, so I don't know. I've heard that they're going to try and remake that one. But I mean, Woody Harrelson to me is such a scene stealer. He is such a great actor. He's so funny. It's Billy Hoyle or whatever that character that he came up with for that movie was just so great. Just the contrast of a small town kid to Wesley Snipes. You know, the big city, flashy, shaking and jiving, razzle dazzle on every play, just playground basketball. And anybody that's played playground basketball, they know that it's super fun, but at the same time, it's really competitive. Like, you got to, if you want to stay on the court, king of the court, you got to win.
Yeah, or what we used to do, we called it closing the park down. You show up and beat the first team so bad, nobody wants to play. It's a rarity, but it does happen. And then king of the court. You'd run all day.
Yeah.
You know, you get a team and it's just like nobody's going to beat you because you're so well stacked and you're playing well together. So the chemistry between Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, you know, was really good in that
movie. Yeah, they did a bunch of movies. I think they did two or three movies after that together. But The White Man Can't Jump, I like the storyline because it's just so random. I mean, his girlfriend is trying to get on Jeopardy to get the big payday.
Oh, what was it? Rosie?
Rosie Perez. And she's great. I mean, I love Rosie Perez. She was so funny. Her accent, the way she delivered her lines, they had so many great scenes together.
Yeah.
It was just
like The Odd Couple too, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like, how did these two hook up? And it just
opposites attract.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, just I got to give it up to whoever cast that movie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because you just wouldn't. I don't know how it was written, if they were written in to be opposites like that, or if the casting just worked. But they're on stage chemistry was great. I thought she did a great job.
And it was believable. You know, because it was, even though it was opposites. You know, I grew up in the city And I would see that. You know, I would see that all the time. And my favorite one was when I was playing basketball in Richmond District at Rochambeau Park years ago. And there was this little black guy that was about 5'4", and had big smile and happy and no body fat whatsoever. I mean, this guy was ripped, but he was like maybe 5'4", if that. And his girlfriend was this big blonde girl, you know, lightest, you know, Snow White, but was built like a bowling ball. And her, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of her, but her body fat was off the charts. And you have this really tiny, muscular guy with this big, big girl. But every time after...
Are you trying to body shame them?
No, it was cute. But I'm just trying to paint the picture that, you know, that it was like they were two... This guy was so ripped. He was the best shape of anybody out there. And but they loved each other. I mean, I was so cute because after every break, he would run over there and give her a little kiss and stuff, and then run back to the game and stuff. So, you know, just opposites attract, and it was a basketball thing because we were on the basketball court.
Yeah, I see how you're tying it in, but yeah, I like White Man Can't Jump. I like the storyline. I think it has a great ending from beginning to end. It's one of those things that I don't really lose interest in the movie. It's so fun to watch. I like how they're betting on the games. It's kind of their side hustle or their hustle. I like there's a couple cameos. The one guy, I forget who his name is, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He might be a Hall of Famer, but the guy that does the robbery, because he's going to bet and they lose the money and he needs more money, and so he goes in to stick up the place, and the guy's all, hey, is that you? you know, and he totally sees who it is, and then he's all, hey, man, well, then if you're not going to let me stick you up, why don't I sell you a gun? You know, so he ends up selling him the gun. It's a really funny scene.
Oh,
but that guy
God.
Played basketball for in the pros.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's what happens sometimes. I mean, these people need money, and they, you know, I mean, look at that one kid out of Hook Mitchell out of the East Bay that all these guys like Jason Kidd and The Glove all said he was better than us. And I saw him do a slam dunk contest in San Francisco at down the panhandle in Haight. I saw him do it. This guy was jumping over cars. He was a great shooter. Definitely would have been a Hall of Famer, NBA, but he was, you know, a troubled kid, you know, and he ended up robbing a Blockbuster and spent, you know, spending time in prison. You know, he's still in prison, I think. But threw away an NBA career.
Yeah, it happens. That's the other side of the coin for sports. I mean, there's so many great stories that...
I mean, we're talking about Hall of Famers are saying that this kid was better than them.
I know. There's tons of those stories. And some of them, they just don't pan out. I mean, there's nothing off the court that happens. It's just, you, like you said, you got to bring your A game. And when the lights turn on and it's actually playing a team sports, it's a lot different than playground.
Yeah.
There's tons. It's just like the whole and one. There's tons of basketball players that could dribble,
the
run,
professor.
Shoot, jump.
Hot sauce.
All those guys.
Remember Hot Sauce?
Yeah, there's tons of them, but it doesn't translate to the NBA game.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the professor was, you know, they asked him why he didn't play in the NBA, and it's like he said, hey, and one was offering me more money, you know, at the time, and I went, you know, I went with that.
But he couldn't play team defense and all this. I mean, the professor's dope and all that stuff, but the NBA game is just way different.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than taking on guys that think they get dribbled to the top 3% of athletes on the planet.
there's big difference, and he's so fun to watch. But like you said, when you've got NBA talent playing defense against him,
there's two sides of the court,
and defense wins championships.
When you got to play him in a system, there's so many things to break it down to his skill set, that there's tons of guys that can run, jump, shoot, and pass, but can you put it all together and be consistent, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why the draft is such a crapshoot. But speaking of draft, there's the draft day. I don't know if you saw that one, but it's Kevin Costner going back from Bull Durham. And it's basically, he's the GM of the Cleveland Browns, and it breaks down a whole draft day trade or draft day scenario, the guys they want to pick, the people in the boardroom, the coaches, not green. It's really fun case study on basically picking your team and picking your players and all the input that goes into it. It was a pretty good movie. I've seen it a couple times. I haven't seen it in a couple years, but that was a real fun one. It just like you said, you know, because a lot of these guys, they're all amazing athletes, but to be able to do that on a consistent basis, do it when the crowd's in the place, do it when the pressure's at the highest, is really tough. And it just showed how some of these guys that they picked, they couldn't held stand up to the pressure of doing that.
And also, you got to remember, there's chemistry on the court, but there's chemistry off the court. And when the upper echelon's picking these players and stuff, I'm sure there's huge arguments, because this could make a break a season or a dynasty.
You could lose your job.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You get a number one pick, you pick the wrong guy, okay, it's time to start over. You pick the wrong coach, okay, it's time to start over. We're going to start over. They clean house.
Yeah, and that's why it's like I respect people like Jerry West that just seem to follow success, or success seems to follow them. And then
good eye for talent.
Yeah, and they know the game inside and out, and it's not just the physical. You know, I remember when Nolan Ryan said you should never draft anybody in baseball under 6'4". You should all have giants. And then that year, the little guy for the Cardinals, I forget his name, he ended up winning the MVP of the World Series, and I can't remember his name.
You can't. It's not. There's not one size fits all for athletes.
Yeah,
but there is a cookie cutter format that you want your quarterback to be 6'4". You know,
yeah.
But I mean, it's all changed. There's been all these things, but Jerry West is amazing, and we'll I like to believe this story, and we'll chalk it up as he saved the Warriors dynasty. They wanted to trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, you know, and that was a rumor, and he said, if you do that, I quit.
Yeah,
that'd be the biggest mistake you guys ever made, and he was right.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't even imagine Klay Thompson on the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
or
Kevin Love, who I think is a role player.
At the time he wasn't.
But Klay Thompson, it was such a pure shooter that.
And he plays great defense. I mean, he's the perfect pairing because it's a different position. He's the perfect pairing for Steph.
Yeah, They work because you.
I mean, it's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
you know. So, but yeah, that would have ruined it. It just ruined it.
It wouldn't have happened. I mean, it might have happened if KD still came. But I mean, it's one of those things that's fun to see, and that's what the draft day movie kind of breaks down is if you pick this guy, then do you pick this guy, then do you pick that guy, and how that breaks down the team. And if you pick the right guy, the team breaks out and rolls out good. If you pick the wrong guy, you know, it could be 2 or 3 years you set your team back.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to sit there. Well, especially in football, when it comes to quarterbacks, it seems especially, they always look at, like, the teams that passed on a quarterback, and then they'll be like, well, he's been their quarterback for the last 10 years. You know?
Yeah.
And then that position's done.
Who was Tom Brady? Their sixth round or something?
Yeah, that's.
Was it sixth round?
Yeah, sixth round. But Tom Brady, just like you said, if you watch his combine day and all that stuff, he did not look like a football player. And that's why you can't put these guys into you know, one size fits all. This, if it doesn't look like this, it's not going to happen. You know, he's still playing.
Yeah, and some guys, you know, they play at whatever level they go to. If it's little league, high school, they rise to the thing. And then you get some guys that were awesome little league players and never did anything in high school. You get guys that were great high school ball players and never did anything in college. You get great college players that never did anything in the NBA. Look at the Heisman Trophy winners. How many of them were busts? They're the best football player, voted best football player in all of college, and they didn't make it in the next level. Then you get some guy that walked on, you know, to some pro team.
Or undrafted. Walked on, same difference, yeah.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, they're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, so... don't count anybody out. It's not the battle. It's a war. So, you know, you never know.
Well, yeah, and that's what's so crazy. And they kind of go over it in the draft day, and it always makes you wonder, like, if this person was drafted here or if that person was drafted there. You know, depending on the team that they went to, would they have a better career? Because you see guys that get picked in basketball all the time. They get picked at a certain team and then there for 2 or 3 years, and it doesn't really work out. Then they get traded to a new team. And I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's some like a reality check for them or what. But they thrive.
They blossom.
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen that happen, and it could be the part chemistry of the players. I mean, it could go both ways. I remember with the Warriors years ago when they got Latrell Sprewell, and Latrell Sprewell was not a team player and didn't work well with Tim Hardaway, and even though they had the best talent in the NBA overall. In the guards and forward positions, they didn't live up to expectations because of chemistry. Bottom line, I was at a game where Tim Hardaway got the ball and was going down the court, and Sprewell was right behind him, and Sprewell stopped at half court, didn't even follow him down. Tim Hardaway got the guy to go up with him and looked back to dish the ball, and Sprewell wasn't there. You know, and I remember forgetting, and that was before they were calling him a cancer, and I was at that game going, you know, did everybody just see what just happened?
Oh, everybody saw it. But yeah, Spree is a different animal. I mean, he choked out the coach.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he had a lot of different issues and stuff going on.
Yeah, but I kind of don't blame him, that PJ Carlissimo, you know, guy was something.
You can't choke him out. But yeah, I get it.
You know, there's some of those.
I was a huge fan of his game, though. I liked watching him on the court. I thought he was so fun to watch. He was a great athlete.
Absolutely.
But like you said, though.
Well-rounded. Like, when he wanted to play, well-rounded, good at defense, good at scoring, good at shooting. He was, I'm not taking anything away from his athletic ability. Latrell Sprewell was awesome.
But yeah, but
if you're not a team player, you're not going to win.
Well, he's a bonehead. He's got that famous quote that people clown him for, because it was the lockout season, and he was talking about, how am I supposed to feed my family on this? You know, and he's making $20-something million. Or I don't know. I think it was $12 million or $15 million. I don't know. It was a lot of money he was making, and he said that famous quote, and then he never got picked up for another team.
And he ended up, you know, buying yachts and all this stuff and going bankrupt. So he wasn't good at managing his money either. But, you know, great athlete. But yeah, Once again, great athleticism doesn't translate into championships. You have to have the heart, the ability, and the drive, and the chemistry.
You know,
you're not gonna win a championship by yourself. So,
but yeah, in chemistry, it's the same thing on the screen. It's like, we'll stick with basketball. In another movie, the Spike Lee movie, He Got Game, where they used Ray Allen, a basketball player, to play a basketball player.
Yeah.
But that was a good movie, and it was he had good. I don't know. He was just pretty good in that. It's like I after a little bit, it was like Will Smith and Muhammad Ali. After a little while, you don't see Ray Allen. You don't see Will Smith. You actually see Muhammad Ali. You actually see just a basketball player. And I don't know if it's because they gave him an outrageous name. They called him Jesus Shuttlesworth. You know, yeah. Gave him a biblical name. But it also might be because he was sharing screen time with Denzel Washington. And it feels like, you know, when you work with the best, it brings out the best in you. And Denzel is.
And I think Denzel Washington, I think, was a basketball player in college. I think.
I don't know.
So that would be
I know his shot was funky, though.
Oh, really?
Well, he had almost like a, speaking of Tim Hardaway, almost like a behind the head, like knuckleball shot, I remember. You know, but he was making them.
Remember the old saying, if it don't have to be pretty as long as it goes in.
No, for sure.
You know, same with the food. It don't have to look good. It just has to taste good. But if you could do presentation, or I've seen meals and especially like desserts and stuff where it looks so delicious and you bite into it, there's no flavor. So I would take a substance over looks any day.
Yeah, but with a shot like that, the whole thing is those are the shots that get blocked from behind. And, you know, it's those are good shots that you can make them here and there. But when you get into a live defense, when the guy's up in your face, those are the shots that get blocked. That's why the form is so, and the quick release is so important.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. But I think he was a basketball player in college. But, you know,
is one of those things that everybody's played it.
Yeah. And, you know. And funky is not a bad thing, not necessarily.
No, like you said, as long as it goes in. But that movie was really fun. It showed the whole, like, Rick Fox was in that as well. I'm pretty sure he's a Hall of Famer. Is he Rick Fox?
I don't think so.
No, you're right. You're probably right. But I know he won a couple championships with the Lakers.
And he was married to Vanessa Williams.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Yeah, for a while. Remember she was homecoming queen for the whole country?
I don't.
Miss America?
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
Then they found some old pictures, and they said, oh, no, we can't
help you. Oh, right, scandal. But,
hey, you know.
But Rick Fox, he's another one of those guys that actually I think he has acting chops. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and he holds his own.
Well, he was down in Tinseltown for a long time with Lakers, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
can't help but rub off.
Well, I don't know, man. Every waiter's trying to get on the big screen.
And waitress, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always translate. So we got to give it up to Rick Fox. Good choice in women and a good choice in movie roles. But I liked He Got Game because it showed, though, it was a high school star. It had a little bit of controversy of, you know, the governor trying to get him to go to a certain school, and then they'd let his dad out of prison. It had the whole, do they give kids money to go to college? You know, it was a really good just study on, character study on different people's motivation, different people's drive, and it was a fun movie.
Yeah, they're all fun. They're all in a lot of these are in my top 10 movies, you know, sports and the emotion of sports. Oh, I just thought of another one. What was that one with what was it? Dennis Quaid, where he was the pitcher. He did a really good job.
That's a real movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
based on a real guy that you know was a coach, and the kid said, hey, if we win the championship, you got to go try out for the team. And she showed up, and you know, in the movie, of course, they sensationalized it a little bit, but he was actually an ex-minor leaguer, and then he came back and made it to the pro. So it wasn't like, but in the movie, they made it look like he just came out of nowhere, but he had some minor league experience.
But a lot of coaches do, it feels like.
Yeah, but the movie was done really well. And you know who his kid was in the movie? Was the guy from Two and a Half Men, the little the son in
Two. I don't never seen it. What's Two and a Half Men? Is that the Charlie Sheen one?
Yeah, I can't remember the kid's name, the funny kid, but he was Kevin Costner's kid in that movie. So look how time's flying. Now that kid's probably 26 years old or something. And
probably older than that.
You think?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay, time's flying. So we gotta have fun, right?
Yeah.
We're not here for a long time, just a good time. So start having fun out there and be nice to everybody and go see some of these good movies. Can you think of any other ones?
Yeah. There's tons of baseball movies. I mean, I don't know. There's always the Natural, Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
But the baseball movie that I like, which is it's a comedy, whatever, is what's it called? It's Tom Hanks, A League of Their Own with the women.
Oh, I never saw that.
It's got Madonna in it. It's got
Rosemary O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Donald Trump.
No, I don't think Donald Trump's in that.
Just kidding.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump's first bullying.
He was in. Remember, Donald Trump was in the one movie with Home Alone where
he
had a little cameo in there. But yeah, the Field of Dreams looks really good because there is no crime.
No, League of Our Own.
Or League of Their Own.
Yeah, but Tom Hanks is hilarious as a manager. He plays your typical burnout, drunk manager that doesn't really give a shit. And then the whole team comes together. Everybody comes together. I mean, the lady
sounds like the Bad News Bears.
It is a little bit, yeah, but with adults, and it was, I don't know, dude. A League of Their Own is pretty funny.
Yeah, and once again, we almost forget the Bad News Bears. Mm-hmm. Once again, the original, not the second one. Walter Matthau, perfect
genius
casting. With that guy, just hilarious. Tatum O'Neal, you know, who had already won an Oscar with Paper Moon, playing the lead role of the pitcher, you know, the girl pitcher that could strike everybody out. I mean, it was, that movie was great. You know, it shows our time. Courtship of Eddie Father's kid was the pitcher on the Yankees, the opposing team, and you know, when he got hit by his coach, I mean, that was a different time in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, and I like it. Speaking of different times.
His dad was a coach, and he got hit. So yeah. I remember it was still a shocking moment, even though we all grew up with that in the 60s and 70s. It was weird to see it on the screen. You know?
But, yeah, I like how, speaking of the different times, how they tried to make the one guy controversial, and he's the bad boy because he smoked a cigarette and he had a motorbike.
Yeah, and you know what he... Oh my God! Segue into another sports movie. Guess who he did... what movie he was in? He was in that movie about the NBA or the minor league team with Will Ferrell. Another great sports movie I forgot about.
Oh, the basketball one?
Yeah, what was that called?
Wow.
Oh my God, I can picture the team. They were called the Tropics. But
yeah,
he did a cameo in that where he was the guy that won made the shot and won the $10,000 or whatever.
Oh, really?
And he made it, and they wouldn't pay him, but he was always holding up the sign. And I looked at him. I go, that looks like Kelly Leak from the Bad News Bears. And then when I looked at the credits, it was. So I recognized him as an adult from when he was Kelly Leak in the Bad News Bears. So another great sports movie, and I can't remember, why can't I think of the title of that movie with Will Ferrell? It was such a funny movie.
But yeah, that's another manager. I like Walter Matthau as a manager because he's another kind of burnout. I think he had to do community service. I forget why he was the coach. But he was one, and this is going back in the day, whatever, because no, I
don't think it was community service. He just got paid money by the kid's dad.
But yeah, he wasn't into it, you know.
But
he was showing up, and I almost want to say, from my memory, it wasn't that he had beers, whatever, he had tall cans.
Yeah.
So it was a beer on top of a beer. He had a little extra, you know. He always had his ice chest with a couple beers in it.
And Boilermakers.
Oh, yeah.
Boilermakers, yeah. Oh, that's why they called him Boilermaker, right? Because he put the whiskey or whatever and then have the, yeah, but just a classic classic movie of that time. And you know, when you watch that movie, there, you know, every park had a Kelly Leak, you know, every park had a Tatum O'Neal, every park had a Tanner, everybody had an Ogilvy. We had an Ogilvy in high school that everybody
called. Yeah, they cast it really well.
Yeah,
it hit all the stereotypes,
just
and
like
all the...
not a sports movie, but just like Animal House. I mean, I was in a fraternity at Chico State, Lambda Pi, and we had character, we could have done that movie. We had all those characters, Flounder and,
well, yeah,
and all Stork and all the, we had all those misfits that just played well together, though. Everybody,
those are the best movies, the ones we remember.
Everybody got
based
along
on real life.
Yeah, and it was realistic. You
and
know?
The Bad News Bears was cool because it's one of those, you know, worst to first,
yeah,
you know, underdog stories. They end up playing the best team ever, and where was it? What they went and played at a stadium. Remember at the last one, I forget what stadium they went and played at, but they went and played on the biggest stage.
In the remake. Yeah.
No. In the original one, because they end up they go to the tournament. They got to play the team, got to play another team, and they end up playing at the big game. Is that in a real pro sports?
No, that wasn't the original. Because the original, they lost to the Yankees, but they let them win by letting all the players play. Because at the end, they could have won, but the moral of the story is we came as a team, and now we got to let everybody play.
No, I know, but where they played was a real field.
No, that was a second one. That was the original, that's how it ended. It ended at the Little League thing. But the second one was I remember that. The second one was at a major league stadium because they were all going, oh my God, they couldn't believe they were there. But
was it the same actors?
I want to say, yeah, I think so. Or was it I don't know. We'll have to check that.
Yeah, because from my memory, they end up playing in the big tournament. I don't know if they won or lost, but they ended up playing in a real field. And so it's one of those things of it's a feel good story.
Yeah, yeah. But the original one, the feel good story was at the end was they let the kids that couldn't play, you know, weren't the all stars that had to sit on the bench. They put them in, and they still almost won. They still almost won. And the moral of the story is, you know, you got to let everybody, you know, everybody's got to play. Everybody's got to contribute. And, you know, you could stack your team, and you can, which we all have seen, you know, over the years. And it's unfair. But, you know, it was just a good story how they came back at the end. And then the coaches, I mean, one kid's son, or dad, you know, was like, what are you doing letting these kids play? And he goes, hey, man, you know what? I've taken your money all year long to coach these kids. And you know what? Even though he's a grumpy old man, which he eventually played grumpy old man with Walter, with Jack Lemmon and Ann Margaret, he was a grumpy old man. But at the end, he had a heart. You know, he had a heart.
Yeah.
You know,
still so human.
It had a great human touch, invoked a lot of emotion. You know, he was. He was hard on Tame O'Neill, but then at the end he realized, hey man, this is my stepdaughter and she is a good kid and you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, and a lot of that was what was going on in that time in the family unit, you know, back then. So really great movie. Yeah, I mean, some of these, like I said, are in my top 10, you know,
movies all time, not sports movies.
No, just all, you know, I mean, Jaws was in my top 10 and some other movies, but
I guess we could Jaws if you include water skiing and surfing.
Wow,
as a sport.
That is a push. That is a push. But
it's reaching.
It's reaching. Yeah, but they did have water skiing in there and sailing. Sailing, I guess, is a sport. You know, these guys. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess every movie I'd like pretty much has some sort of
activity, huh?
Some kind of sports activity.
Yeah, and it sounds like Fear Strikes Out.
Oh, now Fear Strikes Out was an Anthony Hopkins film. Where he played a real, I can't remember the guy's name, but he played a real ball player that, you know, his dad lived vicariously through him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and he got to the major leagues, but it touched on a mental disorders, and he was bipolar, so he would, you know, be real manic and
high highs, low
high,
lows,
high, you know, and then he'd get low and he'd freak out. And you know, it was at a time when they didn't really understand these things as much as they do now or put labels on them. And so it was like, what, you know, what is wrong? This guy's like, you know, such a great athlete, but then, you know, he's really high and animated. Then he's depressed and flipping out and all that. So, and I think the movie was done very well. I thought Anthony Hopkins was very believable, you know.
And that's Hannibal, right?
No. That's Anthony Hopkins. Oh, did I say Anthony Hopkins? I'm sorry. Anthony Hopkins was Hannibal. This was the guy from Psycho. Oh, God. Hopkins? No. No, Anthony Perkins. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Okay, because I was going to say, that would be an interesting picture. Anyway.
Yeah. No, Anthony Perkins, side note, he actually went out with Victoria Principal, like when he was an old man and she was first coming up. But this is a guy that was in Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock did Psycho.
Oh, so this is an older movie.
Oh yeah, we're talking back in the 50s and, you know, 60s.
Oh, so they had probably had no idea about mental health.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That was in the time where you just,
there wasn't labels.
No, you rubbed some dirt on it and you kept it moving.
Yeah, so it was a very interesting movie. And like I said,
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Anthony Hopkins.
No.
To
Perkins.
Play, I mean Anthony Perkins. I am so sorry, but Anthony Perkins, you know. I thought, you know, from a guy that, you know, did Psycho.
That's range.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And then he was believable because, you know, as a kid, I watched a lot of black and white movies, baseball movies, and, you know, about Babe Ruth and all this kind of stuff. And the actors could not throw a baseball. They could not hit a baseball. It wasn't believable. But I just remember Anthony Hopkins.
Perkins, excuse me,
was.
And drink Anthony, every time you hear Hopkins.
Yeah, and Anthony Hopkins, one of my favorite actors of all time, too. Very believable.
He's dope, yeah.
In the movie Magic with Ann Margaret again. We're speaking of Ann Margaret. You know, it was done so well. He was so believable. But Anthony Perkins, you know, we think him of from Psycho and some of these scary movies he was in. But he, well, I guess, you know, a baseball player that loses his temper and he's got a baseball bat can be just as scary as a chainsaw massacre.
Was he a pitcher too?
No, I thought he was a, I think he was a hitter.
Oh, okay.
I think he was a hitter in the movie. But all I remember, I haven't seen the movie since I was a kid, but I just remember being a kid watching it and just going, whoa, this is real, so realistic. It makes you feel like you're there, you know, unlike, you know, The Longest Yard, the remake of The Longest Yard. You're like, oh my God, is this a practice? You know, are they just practicing their lines and then they're going to show their acting ability afterwards or whatever. But Anthony Perkins, great actor. Great actor. I thought he was wonderful in that movie. So we're stretching back here. I think that movie came out in the 50s or 60s. It's an old one. But it was an oldie but a goodie, and so a lot of you people probably haven't heard of it. But it's Fear Strikes Out with Anthony Perkins, not Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, and in those older movies, it seems like there's it's more on the acting. They got to sell it because there's no special effects. There's no, or not special effects like we have nowadays, and they don't incorporate music per se. Because nowadays it seems like with laugh tracks and with the music, they can really set the tone and set the mood of the movie. Whereas in those older movies, especially going back to black and white ones, it was all facial expressions and actual, you had to pick up what the actor was putting down.
Absolutely. If you want to go way back, that's why they said Charlie Chaplin. A lot of people say Charlie Chaplin was because he did all that stuff without, audio.
Yeah.
You know, and they said he was...
real physical.
Yeah, he was a very physical actor.
The first Jim Carrey.
Yeah, and very just, you know,
animated,
but the experts, you know, say he was just the best. So
and he could pull off a Hitler stash.
Yeah,
you know,
but that was pre World War II.
Oh, I'm sure, but I'm just saying.
Maybe I never thought of that. Maybe Hitler copied him.
I don't know how it went down, but he sure put the kibosh on that bad boy.
Wow.
You don't see anybody rocking those nowadays.
No. Sometimes you know, get a little mud on your face, and then somebody thinks you're doing that, but. No, nobody does that intentionally. I haven't seen.
Jordan did in a Hanes commercial for some odd reason. I don't know how it got passed, but I was like,
yeah, but it wasn't all the way up, as I remember.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was. It was close enough in my book.
Yeah, I
mean, you know?
I remember that. Well, yeah, it was,
yeah, but at the goat, I guess he could do no wrong. He was trying to see if he could pull it off.
And Jordan just about pulls off everything he wants.
Yep.
I think that's a good list. I'm sure we're
with Jordan, there's also the Space Jam that LeBron remade. I haven't seen the remake, and I don't really remember Space Jam. I know that it was an interesting movie because it was with the Looney Tunes, and you had the animation with the real actors and the real sports players.
Just like Roger Rabbit. It was very popular back then. And
cutting edge stuff.
It worked because you got the kids watching it, the adults watching it, was made for everybody, and they kept it PG, you know, so the kids could watch it. So very entertaining, great movies. God, I just know we're missing some.
Oh, we're missing tons, but this is just some random movies that we like and enjoy of sports movies. And sports movies, it's almost like there's not a bad one in my opinion. Some are better than others, but it's just the whole.
I think what we're missing is a lot of the ones that were like the Jackie Robinson story, or the, you know, that were actually based almost like documentaries, but not. They were still movies, but they're life stories. I mean, there's so many of those that were really good. Just to throw a few out there, I did enjoy the Jackie Robinson story. That was a really good one. But there's a lot of them, you know, about from Babe Ruth to, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I like the Babe Ruth one where it was the guy from Roseanne.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the older ones I used to watch when I was a kid, where they showed him in the orphanage, and then they showed him hitting all these home runs, and then all of a sudden they were paying a lot of attention to him. So, but you know what? These older movies, they're not out. You don't hear of them anymore.
Yeah.
And some of them you try to dig up, and they're really hard to find. But they were every Saturday morning they play the old black and whites when I was a kid, and I just love sitting there watching old movies. What was the guy? Cary Grant, the other guy, Cooper. He did a really good job on he played a pitcher. I forget who he played, but remember the one actor, the old time guy, Cooper?
No.
I forget his first name, but he did a great job. But these are all old black and whites that that, you know,
you might be able to find them on YouTube.
Yeah, that'd be nice, because they just were, some of those were done so well, the acting, because you didn't, like you said, they didn't have all the frills and all the music and all the stuff.
No, it was based on you and on the writing. You have to have a good storyline.
Yeah, so anyway, get out there and watch some of these movies and experience the goodness of
sports movies, the highs and lows. Yeah. It takes you, it's a roller coaster, you know, because there's always conflict, there's resolution, there's a hill you got to get over, it's fun, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they invokes a lot of emotion. You know, Field of Dreams was classic, because it was, you know, about the shoeless Joe Jackson and all that, and just fun to watch. So anyway, enough about the sports. What about food?
Food?
I'm getting hungry, but let's talk a little bit about food.
So it sounds like we're going to get on the airplane and take a trip over to Thailand.
Okay. So Southeast Asia. I love it. The thing about their food is, an interesting fact too, is that the Thai are known for their bird's eye chili peppers, which are small and potent. They're known for the land of a thousand smiles. Everybody's, you know, I've only had one bad experience at a restaurant there the whole time, every time I went there, is everybody's so friendly. They're 98% Buddhist. They always have a smile on their face. Very humble people. So the service is always, you know, off the charts. You always have these restaurants, you know, on the coast where the fish is like, they just got the fish. You know, so the freshness, the price is unbelievable, because the dollar is still, we get a lot for our money over there.
Sure.
But also, since, the chili pepper was actually exported to Thailand 600 years ago. So, you know, most people think, oh, Thai chilies, you know, they've been around forever, but they were actually imported. You know, I forget where they came from, but 600 years ago. And, you know, it's like a lot of the Mexican cuisine, you know, they serve it with the chili, you can say my pet if you don't want it too hot, which means, you know, low on heat level, because traditionally it's going to come hot, the food over there. But you don't see fat people over in Thailand, even though their food is so good and rich, because actually the chili pepper helps with your metabolism and
speeds it up.
Yeah, digestion and all that. So they have the chili pepper there. Their food is very flavorful. You've got these different curries. You have these wonderful soups and their salads, their pad thai. You know, they have noodle dishes, the fresh fish. Everything over there has a lot of flavor, a lot of spice. And actually, you know, the hot weather actually, as you know, makes you lose weight too. So between the hot food and the hot weather over there, you don't see too many fat people over there, because, you know, you're sweating more. You know, you're getting the stuff out, and it helps with your, like I said, your digestive system and your metabolism. So the food, you know, if I had to.
So what is pad thai? Break down.
Pad thai is like a noodle.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't taste like spaghetti, and it's flatter. Okay. And then they'll put chicken or moo.
So it's like
pork.
A broth noodle soup?
No, it's not. They have plenty of those. Oh my God, they have plenty of their soup. I could live off their soups alone, the flavor. But they'll have the chicken, then they'll put the chopped up peanuts on top and the little green onions and stuff like that. And and then of course a lot of fish sauce over there and soy sauce, and that goes on top. And it's just such a healthy meal. You know, you never feel bloated when you eat Thai food or Indian food, to me. India is so close to Thailand and is part of Southeast Asia that the Indian food is just amazing in Thailand too. You know, so they're similar, but they're my two favorite foods in the world. If I had to choose just two cuisines to live off the rest of my life, I'd be fully satisfied with those two. Just everything, you know, from their chicken, their pork, their fish, their eggs. Oh, they'll put an egg on top of just about everything to give you their little protein. You know, you get your pad thai or whatever, they'll say, oh, you want it with an egg? They always ask, with or without an egg? And they'll put the egg on top, and then it's usually over easy.
Of course.
You know, and the yolk is usually, the way they cook it over there, is just perfect. It's not hard, it's not mushy. So
you gotta
just
have that yolk.
Yeah, it's just, they just seem to, and the eggs are so fresh over there, because they're not, you know, they don't, they don't have a lot of the stuff that we have over here, so everything's like really fresh, you know. So that I really like that. So I would have to say that is my favorite food.
So it sounds like that their staple is noodles. It's a lot of noodles and broths and soups.
Yeah.
And then you could take your choice of pork, fish, or chicken.
Yeah.
And now is the flavor
or
shrimp? Yeah, well, that's a fish, shellfish. But yeah. Now is it, I was reading or seeing it's a lot of like sweet and savory,
yeah,
with the hot and the so they mix the flavors and they just sort of mesh together with the sweet and
yeah.
the savory
oh,
and the
yeah.
hot,
yeah. And the papaya salad,
okay,
is just, you know, where it's so good. And oh, and I forgot, dessert is a lot of times you get the fresh mango, and what
okay.
they would do is they put it over the sticky rice. And then they put the carnation, that sweet, creamy, milky, I don't know what it is, but it comes in a carnation can over there, and it's a red can, I remember that. But it's like a creamy thing, and they put it right on top of the mangoes, on top of the sticky rice, and it's like, if you go out there and get these mangoes when they're just perfectly ripe, you know, not under ripe or overripe, just right, it's like, you could cut it with a fork, and just it just melts in your mouth with it just melts, and that's the thing. Nobody wants a hard steak or hard dessert. You want it to just melt in your mouth, but you don't want it overly ripe.
Yeah.
And so I just remembered that was a constant staple over there, was the mangoes over the sticky rice with the carnation milky cream thing,
yeah.
that whatever it is they have over there. I don't see that stuff over here. I'd have to go to an Asian store, I guess, to get it. But I should do that. I should. There's an Asian store right.
Oh, they got tons.
Yeah, and I'd like to go over there and maybe get that and try to replicate that over here.
Sounds delicious.
But yeah, all in all, everything's super healthy. The Thai people have beautiful teeth, you know, beautiful skin, and they're not fat. So you are what you eat. And so when you look at their diet of the fresh fruit.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of noodles, rice, and fish.
Yeah, and not a lot of processed
food. Not a lot of fatty foods.
Yeah, and not, yeah, and you get your little bit of protein in there with your carbs and everything. It's just a well-balanced meal. And oh, and then the coconut water over there, the bananas and the watermelon, you could get right on the side of the street. They'll give you fresh water.
So what's the coconut water? That's actual the coconut milk from inside a coconut?
Yeah, it's really, really, you get that everywhere. And I guess,
and do you drink it out the coconut, or is it coconut?
Oh, yeah, sometimes they have that, but a lot of times, you know, you just order the coconut.
And it's just in a cup.
Oh, and they have their real Thai iced tea. You know, that it's like, oh, I think that's made with the carnation stuff too. I don't even know how they make it, but it gives you a little pick me up. It doesn't really make you jittery like coffee, but it does give you energy. And it's a sweet, like you said, the tea is a sweet tea. It's a syrupy tea. It's not like American tea, like a breakfast tea or something like that. It's really got a lot of thickness and sweetness and flavor to it. It's just, I mean, you could get it over here at restaurants, but just for some reason over in Thailand, it just tastes that much fresher. So the all-around diet is good. I know when I've gone over there, I just naturally lose weight, and my skin looks better because you're constantly sweating, so you're cleaning out all your toxins.
All the pores and stuff.
Yeah, so it's just a...
And I picture it like, do they have big old markets, like swap
yes.
meets, where you can go and get fresh
yes.
stuff? You know, they got the
yeah.
chickens hanging, or
yeah.
the ducks hanging, or something hanging, fresh fish,
oh, yeah.
fresh vegetables, fresh fruit.
Yeah, they're like here, they usually have their market like in these little towns like once a week, and that's
okay.
where you do your shopping for the week. I mean, they have grocery stores out there, of course, but out in the villages and stuff, no. You go out there, they have the fresh fish, like they have them. I don't know how they stay alive so long, but I put in one of my videos where they have all these fish in this like tin thing on the ground, and they're all moving around. It's like, I don't understand how they stay alive.
They probably douse them with water every once in a while.
Yeah,
something.
I mean, but they're not swimming. I mean, they're trying to swim. But you know, it's like, oh, you want your fresh fish for tonight? Hey, it's still moving.
Yeah, you don't get fresher than that.
No, and the vegetables and the chili peppers, and yeah, it's a great experience to go out there. The people are really, like I said, really, really friendly, always smiling, always happy, very content. You know, money, you know, is not their main thing.
They're just surviving. Yeah. What's the traffic like? I mean, I guess they're small villages. Is it a lot of people on mopeds?
Oh, yeah, cars? That's all you. Yeah.
Is it it's a moped city?
Yeah, everybody. Well, in Bangkok, the traffic can be horrible. I remember one time when I got off the plane, the guy was so nice, a cab driver. We got stuck in traffic where finally, you know, and I had two suitcases and my hotel was probably, you know, a half a mile away. And finally, you know, I don't understand how we were moving like an inch. Like, you know, I just didn't understand it. And finally I said, dude, you know, I'm supposed to meet my friends, you know, I'm not going to make it. And he goes, no, you're not. And I don't, I mean, he's probably still there. It was horrible. So I got out and I took my two suitcases and walked them, one with the left hand, one with the right hand, and, you know, walked through the city to get there. And I made it barely in time, but if I had stayed in that cab,
now, bumper to bumper.
Oh, it was.
I wonder if they even have traffic laws. Do they even have lights and all that stuff?
Well, the driving over there, the roads aren't that good, but the driving is, you use your horn to warn people you're coming.
Yeah.
Not like here. Like I was at Santa Cruz the other day doing a delivery, and dude came up behind me and, you know, honked his horn and flipped me off because he was speeding, and I merged in ahead of him, and I you know, he was speeding, but. You know, he used a horn to say and flip me off and say F you. So that's the American way of using a horn. In Thailand, they use a horn to warn you, hey, I'm right next to you, boom, boom. It's more friendly horn. Like, boom, boom, I'm coming. Let's not play bumper cars today.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a lot of traffic. Out in the villages, there's no traffic, but the roads are horrible. When I went to visit my friend Chris and the family last time, we're out in the boonies, and he goes, oh, we're going to take the little rickshaw, you know, wherever we were going, and the road was so bad, it tipped over. With me, him, and his kid and the thing. I mean, we didn't get hurt. We kind of jumped and avoided getting hurt, but because we were going so slow. But it was kind of scary when you're in this little rickshaw,
boat. Yeah, it sounds like you gotta keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, it's a moped with the sidecar.
Yeah.
It was a big sidecar. And when we rolled it, we all laughed and threw it, you know, back in. But somebody could have got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we all laughed because, you know, we weren't, Nobody got seriously hurt or at all, but it's dangerous. You know, everybody in Thailand has some big scar on their leg or arm from road rash because everybody drives a moped.
Oh yeah,
you know, so
laying
them
down.
You know, now what happened to your leg? Oh, motorbike.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they
don't even got to ask. You just know. Now, what's the animals like? Is Thailand, or do they have the monkeys?
Lizards, yeah, snakes. One time we went on a it was some kind of boat trip to all these little islands. And they said, be very careful because all the little monkeys, they can get a little aggressive. So,
yeah.
You know, we were throwing them bananas or whatever at food for them. But they said, don't get too close. So they'll
bite you, right?
They will get aggressive. Yeah. I never saw any of the snakes. But my friend Chris that lives out there, he, you know, every once in a while, they'll get these real poisonous snakes in the yard. So you got to be careful. Yeah. You know, any society, you know, there's certain things like Costa Rica. I think my friend said he never saw mosquitoes so big as in Costa Rica.
The size of hummingbirds.
Or something. Yeah, he was telling me they were huge. But so every culture, especially tropical, you're gonna see bigger and badder snakes and reptiles and animals and stuff like that. I like going to Chiang Mai and checking out the tigers and the elephants.
Go.
Riding elephants was cool. It was a fun experience. Playing with the tigers was really, really cool.
Playing with the tigers, what, baby cubs or the full grown ones?
They had bigger ones too, but I didn't go mess with them.
Yeah.
I just didn't, you know, I mean, I'm watching these people pet these life-size tigers and I'm just like going, you know, the little cub, if he wakes up and gets angry, I got a chance.
Yeah,
you know
that's some stitches.
Yeah, but not get your armor.
A full grown tiger, it's game over.
Yeah, so but it was interesting, and obviously the rules over there are not like they are here. The safety laws and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if they even have them.
That's what I'm saying. So you enter these places.
It's a common sense country.
Yeah, you enter at your own risk, and you know.
But yeah, tigers are freaking awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, you have to look both ways before you cross the street because
they are not here. But yes,
they are crazy, crazy drivers. You know, it's a third world country. So, you know, if you get hit, that's your fault, you kind of thing. That's their mentality.
Now, pedestrian does not have the right of way.
No, and if you're a foreigner, like you go to these countries, if you're a foreigner, just remember, if you do get in an accident, if it's not your fault, it is your fault. So be careful out there, have insurance. And
always get the insurance on your rental.
Yeah, and you know, if you can have somebody else, a Thai person or, you know, wherever you're in another country, have somebody else drive. Take the responsibility out of your hands, because the last thing you want to do is get in any kind of trouble in a foreign country. Okay.
And there's a lot of English. There's a lot of English. Everybody knows English.
Yeah, it's a second language over there.
There
so
it is.
They teach everybody English in school. So even though sometimes it's not spoken the best, you get the job done, you know, and communicate. So wonderful people, wonderful culture, wonderful food.
It sounds amazing. I would I'd definitely make the list of trying to go to Thailand.
Yeah, I would get, and the water. Well, some of the beaches are disgusting, you know, because they don't have the pollution laws, you know, here. A couple of them I went to, but most of them are crystal clear. They filmed the movie The Beach out there.
Oh, wow.
Some of these with Leonardo DiCaprio, some of these other ones, movies they filmed out there, because the water is just crystal, crystal clear. It's just so, so beautiful. And so I would have to give the Chili God stamp of approval to just the food in general over in Southeast
Asia. The whole cuisine.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, very flavorful and healthy. You know?
Well, and it sounds like you could pick your poison. They got the staple, and if you like steak or pork, you could have that. If you like fish,
chicken.
Or chicken, you could have that, and you just pick your poison with, and it goes in on top of all these different noodles and rice dishes.
Yeah, the one
which
thing
I'm a big fan of.
Oh yeah, but the one thing I would not try over there is the fried bugs. I just, you know, little
rest. Oh, really?
I just, my friend loved them. My friend Chris, oh, they're so good. They're so good.
That's some fear factor stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, you know, I just don't want to support that. You know, I can't, you know, I just couldn't get into it, you know, so I just, that was one thing. But it pretty much, and the frog soup. When I was offered the frog soup, I politely turned it down, and they finally said, you have to try some. I said, no. I love frogs. I can't support the killing of frogs.
Kermit.
Yeah, I couldn't. And thank God, because I did have the... They finally said, well, you have to try the broth. So I had the broth. But, you know, his grandmother-in-law, that made it, actually had to go to the hospital that night. So I'm glad I didn't partake in the frog.
Yeah, saved yourself a trip to the emergency room.
Yeah, and and you know what? I got sick a few times. I had food poisoning over there a couple times. You know, because they're not the clean. They're, you know, the hygiene. They were working on it last time I left. They were having some kind of stamp put on the windows that they, you know, took the class or whatever. But the hygiene in the food, they don't. You know, they're not.
There's no OSHA?
Right, or whatever it's called. But
or health inspectors.
Yeah, there's no health inspectors out there. So, you know, if what goes on behind the kitchen is, oh, we're chopping up chicken and now we're going to make the papaya salad. You know, there's nobody to say, hey, you have to...
Cross-contamination.
Cross-contamination's the worst. And so I did have food poisoning there a couple times, and it was no fun. You know, I was out for a day and a half, and... the one time my temperature, I mean, I was in bed for a day and a half, and my temperature, I didn't have a thermometer, but I never felt so. I mean, I literally put my head on a pillow, and like 2 seconds later, the pillow was on fire, you know, and then kept having to flip the pillows, and the only thing I had was 7-Up, and every time I drank the 7-Up, I would throw up. So, you know, be careful out there. There's a lot of American restaurants over there too. Sizzler. We went to Sizzler a lot when we were in some of these towns, because you knew at least they were going to be regulated a little bit more on the cleanliness, because it was an American corporation. But it's weird, because you go to you know, some of these American places, they were the same price as America. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So you think, oh, well, you're getting a deal. No, you want American food, you pay American prices. So, you know, we generally went to, and there was this one Indian restaurant I used to eat at. It was a little hole in the wall. Best Indian food just by far I'd ever had. And I love Indian food. It was always so fresh. But the kitchen was about, you know, 8x8. And there was only...
Working in a closet.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a little hole in the wall. There was like six seats in there. You know what I mean? I was like, how do these guys stay in business? But it was just, everything was just amazing. Just amazing. I miss that little place. I used to eat there almost every day when I was there. I'd go have Indian food.
Well, it sounds like you got to find your restaurants that don't give you food poisoning and then just frequent those places.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just like here in America. I mean, people get Chipotle food poisoning, all these places you always hear about. There's a recall on the tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it happens.
I mean, the first time that
so don't be scared if you visit there. Go out and try the local cuisine.
Yeah, I remember Taco Bell, you know, years ago was just beef, remember? And years ago, and then 25 years ago or so. No, probably closer to 30 years ago now I think about it. About 30 years ago, they started cooking the chicken, and I was downtown San Francisco to the Taco Bell, and they go, oh, we have chicken tacos now, or whatever it was. And I go, oh, wow, you guys got chicken. I'll have to try one. And I guess, you know, they didn't have it cooked enough, and I went out that night with my friends, and I got to Harry Denton's or Southside, and all of a sudden, I was like, I got to go to the bathroom, and I was throwing up, and my stomach was in a, you know, just horrible. And I said, hey, I'm sorry, buddy, I got to go home. And everybody's like, come on, we just got here. And I'm like, no, I got to go home. And I was throwing up for, like I said, it must have been a day and a half, throwing up, and I couldn't keep anything down, like just water. I was dehydrated, so I go in the bathroom, I drink some water, and I throw it right up. So food poisoning is no joke. I mean,
yeah, it's nothing nice. And if we knew what was in our fast food, it'd probably shock us, because like you're mentioning that they use beef and all this other stuff, but I heard or read somewhere, so I don't know how factual it is, but like if you go to Taco Bell or one of those places, it's not even beef, or it's like a white powder that they dump in water and it turns into that. So it's like dehydrated packaged meat. So I don't know how much cooking they're doing nowadays. I don't know how, but I mean, I still eat it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's,
so I mean, if we knew what was really going on in our food, yeah.
For shipping, you dehydrate it.
Yeah.
And then just add water. For shipping, you're going to save a ton of money.
Yeah.
That's why the Chili Gods, you know, just came out with the Luna Love Rub in a powder form, because it's smaller and it's lighter. So if we do want to ship that all over the world, we can afford to do it without, you know, breaking the bank for people, because the glass bottles are so expensive. You know, people are going to end up spending, you know, $11 a bottle, which if they really got to have it, I guess it's worth it. But you know, we try to be you know, be a value
economically.
Yeah, that, and that's part of the Chili God stamp of approval is economics. You know, you're not ripping people off, so you're a value. Even if it's really good quality, at least you're not, you know, ripping anybody off. So Thai food and Indian food, especially in Thailand, Chili God stamp of approval all day long.
Yeah.
For value, flavor, freshness. And health-wise, you know. I mean, like I said, the Thai people, in general, they have really nice hair, really nice teeth, and really nice skin. You know, their teeth are white because they're not eating a bunch of processed food. They're eating the natural food, and it shows in your healthy teeth and healthy skin.
Yeah, diet's super important.
And healthy nails. You know, if you have healthy nails, skin, that tells you that you're a healthy person in general, you know.
So go out there, try some different cultures, some different food. Some different menus. Be adventurous, you know, and just be very careful on take small bites.
Yeah, and if you can do some traveling eventually, you know, get out there and travel, because there's nothing like having local cuisine in that country, because you're going to get the real deal. Many times it's replicated here pretty well, but there's nothing. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you can go to Thai restaurants here in the States and
different
they're good.
Products.
They're good. But there's nothing like the chicken or the pork or the fish at all.
Well, because they're using American products.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done it before. I've gone to some of these Asian markets and I picked up the stuff to make papaya salad and the stuff to make pad thai and the stuff to make, you know, these different dishes. And it comes out good, but there's nothing like the real thing.
No, so I think that's a song.
Yeah. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. That's Thailand right there.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure a lot of these other countries, the food is just...
Yeah, any local cuisine is delicious. So go out there, get out there, try some different cuisines today. And if you've never tried it, be adventurous.
Yeah, we're not saying eat the bugs, but at least...
No, no, no.
At least get out of the box there a little bit and adventure and enjoy. And if you don't like it, make sure you turn your head, spit it in a napkin so nobody sees you. But, you know, don't swallow it. If it doesn't taste right, don't swallow, you know. That's my advice.
Yep, words to live by.
Don't get in your system, you know, if the, like, you ever take a bite of something, a chicken, it's just like, okay, that doesn't taste right. Spit it out.
Yeah.
Spit it out. Because if you spit it out, your chance of getting food poison go down or up 100%. So, or 99%, I should say. So, on the air of caution, or the side of caution, if it tastes funky, don't swallow.
Yep, and there's all kinds of different funky. We like the good funky, the bad funky, spit to the left.
Right.
So one more time from JFT, just a few takes. We're signing off with your sports and snacks podcast and everything in between, putting it down for the culture. We will see you next time.